Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson.
Welcome to the show. My goodness, Christmas is just around the corner, and that means time with family and friends and grandkids and everybody, right, Mary Pat?
You bet. Merry Christmas.
Wait a minute. Do I have the wrong microphone on for you?
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's her. I got it. Okay, I found you. So, and you know what that means? You spend a lot of time with your loved ones, and many people have days off from work, and they want to play. That's why we're talking to Leslie Olson at the Children's Museum. Hi, Leslie. Welcome to the show.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
There's no better place to play in Indianapolis than the Children's Museum. There just isn't.
Well, I would have to agree with that wholeheartedly. It's just a fantastic place to play and learn and have a great time with your family.
Now, is it new that the Children's Museum is the largest museum in the world? Children's Museum in the... Is it the United States?
No, it is the largest in the world.
Oh, my gosh.
That is not new. Before last March, when we opened the Riley Children's Health Sports Legends Experience, we had about 475,000 square feet under roof. And then we added 7.5 acres outside.
So it
really cemented the deal that we are by far the largest in the world.
Cemented the deal. Well, we're excited about Christmas. Do we have the Happy Jolly Days going on?
We do, and it is really, really happy and festive around here. Jolly Days, as you know, is a wonderful exhibit for the younger crowd. We say more like preschool age. Certainly, there are a lot of children in there that are enjoying their visits with Santa. We have Santa every single day from 11 to 5, and he loves hearing the wishes and dreams of the little boys and girls. So he will be here until Christmas Eve Day, December 24th, and having a blast.
Well, the 24th is a big day at the museum. Tell everybody why.
It is a big day. It is one of our free admission days during the year, our last one, obviously, for 2018. And we do close early. We close at 2 p.m., but from 10 to 2, you can come in and have your last visit with Santa and explore the entire museum free of charge. And it's always a big, fun day. Parents are needing to get their kids to work off a little steam and get to sleep early before Santa comes. It's a great way to do that.
Oh, absolutely. You still got the slide, right?
We have the 47-foot-long Yule slide, which is so much fun. The kids just love riding down with their parents, having a little competition with their siblings. It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
And you kind of land in the gingerbread cafe, so there's always lots of good treats to have too.
Mary Pat, I've been down the Yule slide.
I was going to say, Leslie, how many times have you been down that slide?
Well, this year, I will be honest and tell you, zero.
Oh, busy.
It's been so busy. But in years past, I have taken lots of selfies myself going down the slide. So maybe I'll get that done before Christmas Eve.
Now, I know in the Lilly Theater, you've got the Snow Queen performance. Is that through the rest of the year or just through Christmas or what?
It is. The Snow Queen runs through January 6th, and that is also when Jolly Days closes.
Okay. So
even though Santa will be going back to the North Pole on the 24th so he can deliver all the packages.
Oh, yeah.
The Snow Queen will stay on stage until January 6th. That is also when Jolly Days closes. So it's a great show. It's really beautiful. The costuming is amazing. The lighting is amazing. And it's just such a fun way to introduce kids to live theater because the shows typically run about 45 minutes. You know, we know that kids, you know, might make noise, might get up, might have to leave the theater, whatever. We are fine with that. It's just a great way to introduce them to real theater.
Here's a fun fact for both of you. I was in the Snow Queen in a production in college. I played Gerda.
Really?
So I love the show. It's just, you know, I've always loved the show, and I think it's cool that you're having it, and I may bring my grandson. He will probably won't.
You should. And tell him the story of yourself.
I will. I've got to find old pictures. So Jingles the Jolly Bear will be there?
Always here. Jingles the Jolly Bear is always here.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've got lots of really great characters in Jolly Days. Peppermint Patty and Scrooge comes occasionally. And there's just all kinds of characters and the actors and interpreters and lots of fun.
All right, let's switch gears and talk about the splashdown to New Year's. Tell me what makes that special and hours and different things.
we call it Countdown to Noon. It is on December 31st on New Year's Eve Day. And, you know, if your kids can't stay up till midnight or you don't want to take them out at midnight, as a family, come to the Children's Museum, and at 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock, our water clock counts down the hours, and we have a great big fun event, just like you would on New Year's Eve at any of the great hotels or anything. We have confetti and noisemakers and hats and music, and we just have a blast.
Now, do
go ahead.
Do families have to make a reservation for that, or they can just show up?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It is just come, and it's crowded, but fun crowded. It's like a great big wonderful party. Every year, Grammy-nominated musician Zach Morgan brings his band, and the kids absolutely love him because he does all this fun music for children, and so he performs before the countdown, and then he does the countdown at noon, and then he performs again until 1 o'clock, does the next countdown, and it's really just like a great party. He brings the kids up and has dance contests and parties and all kind of stuff with them, so we are thrilled that he comes. Every year he says it's his best gig of the year, so we just have a blast.
I love that. All right, so that's going to be on New Year's Eve. Let's talk quickly about some of the exhibits that are going on there. I know that you've got the Science of Ripley with the Curiosities.
It's kind of odd.
What's the weirdest thing there, in your opinion?
To be honest, the world's tallest man is animated, how do you say that?
Animated.
You know,
okay. Yeah.
Animatron, I guess is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And he'll be looking at you, and then all of a sudden he stands up from his chair. Ooh, and he's like 9 feet tall, and it's really kind of odd.
That's odd.
He was a real man, yeah. And that's kind of a weird thing, and we have... like the biggest snake, not real, but that ever really roamed the earth. And I have a snake phobia, so it really freaks me out.
Mm.
The kids can crawl through it and learn all about snakes, but they love it.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't crawled through it, and I probably won't, but.
Okay, you've got something called American Pop.
American Pop is now a permanent exhibit, and it's lots of fun. All about how popular culture has changed our lives and changed the world. And we have things dating back into the 50s and on up. We have toys, iconic toys, and fashion and music and all kinds of things like that. And it rotates out. We have, you know, a dress that Taylor Swift has worn.
Ooh.
And shoes that Lady Gaga wore. And
cool.
Really interesting cowboy boot collection of all things.
I saw that. Is it just from different famous people, or it's just cow? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
a lot of people have worn the cowboy boots, myself included.
Yeah.
Right, Pat, do you ever own cowboy boots? Oh yeah.
Of course.
All right.
Well, there was a gentleman in Texas of all places. Joke.
Of course.
Collected cowboy boots, and he donated them to us. And it's really kind of a fun fashion thing to look at the different boots and what they were made of, and that's
the colors.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
So you've got also the history of hoops. It's a basketball deal.
The history of hoops. When we opened our new Riley Children's Health Sports Legends Experience, we opened 3 indoor galleries as well as the outdoor galleries.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. And the history of hoops,
one of those,
was the first that we opened, the first temporary exhibit. Featuring basketball, and in September it will switch out and it will be a football experience.
Oh, nice.
And feature the Colts, but it'll be all about all kinds of, you know, high school and collegiate football and a lot of history of football. So we will be changing that out every year, featuring different sports, and kids can come in and it's interactive, and you can, you know, shoot hoops, throw passes, all kinds of things like that.
Love that.
Indoors.
I know one of the most popular things there, and it has been for years, is the Dinosphere. It's still there, correct?
Oh, it is. It's always popular.
Yeah.
It is, in fact, when we do the surveys and all, still the most popular exhibit we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that's really cool about it is that the the fossils are standing in kind of a surround sound dome as if they were in their real world 65 million years ago. And you hear the sounds, you can smell the smells of the grass and all. And then when you look at them and you can go out into a real working paleo lab that we have.
So cool.
So we have all kinds of bones that our paleontologists are working on. They let kids touch the bones. They're always available to talk about dinosaurs, and they are so knowledgeable, and the science is real, and they can experience it, and we love that.
So much to see and do at the Children's Museum. You will leave there exhausted.
Yes, you will.
But
yes,
they have good, you know, I was talking to, we've got, I work in a school, and our third grade's going to go on Thursday, and the bus driver that, well, she wanted to go so badly because she loves the food court too. So that's just another element of the Children's Museum.
We do. Can I share two more things with you that I think are kind of fun? And that is coming up.
Yes.
Things coming up.
Sure.
That especially the school kids are going to love. The Paw Patrol is coming.
Wonderful.
And that's going to be big for the younger set.
We'll be there on the double.
Yeah. February 23rd through July 28th, the Paw Patrol.
Okay.
And so bring your grandson to that. And for the older kids and grandparents, Star Trek is coming.
What?
Star Trek exhibit, February 2nd through April 7th.
Are we talking about Captain Kirk or Captain Picard?
Captain Kirk all the way through. We've got
a
lot of the original and stuff from some movies. We've got costumes and set pieces and history and just, I think it's going to be a really great exhibit.
It will. One year for Halloween, I've got a Spock costume, and then my husband had a Kirk costume, so we'll have to wear those and have some fun. I've got the ears, the wig, all of it. All right, Leslie Olson with the Children's Museum, the world's largest children's museum. We thank you. Thanks for sharing what's going on and what's coming up.
Thank you. We love Boomer Radio.
We appreciate that.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more on Freedom 95.
We'll have more Boomer Radio right after this.
Owning a home can be a lot of work. When life changes and your home becomes a burden, Westport Homes has the solution. Their Lifestyle Collection offers low-maintenance homes and flexible floor plans designed for your chapter in life. Open layouts, large closets, sunrooms, dining rooms, and bonus rooms are available in many floor plans. Looking for a new home now? Check out Westport's Move-In Ready Homes. Visit westport-home.com for more details on community locations. Westport Homes Lifestyle Collection. Less work, more fun.
With over 70 years of combined legal experience, Altman, Poindexter, and Wyatt attorneys serve clients throughout Central Indiana with wills, trust, and estates. More information is available at apwlawyer.com.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are talking about the holidays, and along with the holidays, Mary Pat, now, I know a little bit about you. You've been doing this show for 3 years. You get along pretty well with all your relatives and stuff.
Sure.
Do you have anybody, maybe this is too personal, do you have any recovering addicts that you hang out
with? The entire family.
Okay, I shouldn't laugh, because you're sort of kidding, right?
Kind of.
Okay, all right. We're going to be serious. Our next guest, his name is Brian Esposito. He's with Beachway Addiction Professionals. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.
Can I talk about you a little bit first, kind of give our audience some background on you?
Absolutely. Feel free.
And you tell if it's inaccurate, you just jump right in. So Brian started as a behavioral health technician, and then he moved over to supervise the behavioral health area at Beachway, correct?
Absolutely.
And it's my understanding that you have a really good understanding of substance abuse by working there. Where is this located? Where is Beachway?
Our main office is down in South Florida in Palm Beach County.
Okay.
And we recently were in the process of also opening up a new outpatient program in Central New Jersey.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about how to navigate the holiday season if you do have, some addiction or disorders in your family. Brian is also a therapist. I know you have an understanding with family counseling and cognitive behavioral therapy, relapse prevention, all of that good stuff. So let's talk about holidays and addiction. What have you learned with all your time there?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing, especially, you know, for myself, being a recovering alcoholic myself, that's kind of what got me involved in the field.
Ah, I didn't know.
Yes, by the grace of God, March will be 10 years sober for myself.
Oh, bless your heart. Congratulations.
And, you know, I think just truly being honest, you know, with your family, you know, I think that's one of the biggest struggles that a lot of people have around the holidays is really expressing to people, you know, what they need. You know, it's very common when we do our family programs that, you know, the clients come in, it's like, well, I don't want my family not to be able to drink because I can't drink.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And one thing I've learned through this process personally, you know, is like my family's like, I would rather you be around than me having a drink.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so like it's funny because like us is out, you know, people in recovery, you know, we couldn't imagine going through like Christmas dinner without having a drink. But for a person that's not an alcoholic, it's like, well, I'd rather my family member be there than me to have a drink if it was going to make you feel uncomfortable.
Boy, it makes sense.
You know, I think being truly honest and expressing to people what, you know, the ways they can be supportive of you around the holiday season.
So it's important to have that conversation.
Absolutely. You know, communication, I mean, in any relationship, it's huge, you know, and especially for people in recovery and in early recovery, you know, because a lot of people don't understand what that really looks like.
No,
you know,
you're right. Early recovery, like when you're just trying to keep it together minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, and now you've stretched it to almost 10 years, but those early days have got to be difficult.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think for a lot of people, just the, you know, the concept of, you know, we talk about just take it day by day. You know, okay. If one day at a time is too much, break it down to an hour at a time. If an hour at a time is too much, break it down to a minute at a time.
Hmm.
You know, and that's what we talk about. It's a daily reprieve. You know, we're sober for today, tomorrow. You know, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. All I have is today.
Oh, wow. So for recovering alcoholics, attending parties, it's the holiday season. You know, you have parties at work. You've got parties with friends and family. What are the steps? What are some of the strategies that you use to stay sober? I mean, you talk to yourself like what you just said to me. I mean, what are some of those strategies?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think, you know, for a lot of people, you know, we talk about getting involved in a 12-step fellowship.
Okay.
You know, so that's, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, something like that. And part of that process is getting a sponsor. You know, so a lot of times having that open communication with a sponsor and setting up a support group. You know, early on in my sobriety, when I would be going to, you know, like a function where I knew they'd be drinking, like I'd be like, I'd call my sponsor and I'd be like, all right, this is where the party's going to be at. This is what's going on. If I call you and like I'm really uncomfortable, I might need you to come pick me up. And he'd be like, all right, just, you know, just call and let me know and I'll be there.
Wow.
You know, so I think it's really kind of, you know, seeing what you need to do for yourself. And sometimes it's even bringing sober, you know, sober people with you. You know, like, hey, I got to go to this function. You know, would you mind coming with me? You know, finding somebody that has a little bit more time in sobriety. It could be that sponsor or another sober support that's a little more comfortable being in like a function like that.
So I'm hearing a good support system is important.
That's the biggest thing, you know, yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people that have struggled with this whole process is, you know, they try to really tackle it on their own, you know, and
yeah.
If it was that easy to do it on your own, you know, there would be no AA, there'd be no treatment centers. You mm-hmm. would just wake up one day and be like, okay, I can get sober. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of people that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some people can, you know, I've come across the people that can just wake up one day and be like, you know what, I'm not going to drink anymore. And they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But my experience over the last 9 years of working in, you know, substance abuse and in therapy, that there's only there's not many people that can truly do that.
We're talking to Brian Esposito. He's with Beachway Addiction Professionals. Brian, Mary Pat McKee, the founder of Boomer Radio, is also with me here, and she's got a question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my question, well, it's like, I don't know if it's a question more than a statement, but it seems I remember being young and going to Christmas parties with the family and everybody was drinking. I think there's a major shift in that. You know, the families, we aren't drinking near as much as I remember them when we were younger. Do you see that?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was actually just, I recently just reconnected with a friend from my childhood. You know, he doesn't have any issues or anything like that. He's like, you know, one thing that I've realized, you know, he's not an alcoholic or an addict. And he was saying to me is like, you know, this alcoholism stuff can really impact. It comes from everywhere. You know, you see lawyers, you see doctors. It's such mm-hmm. become such a problem in our society today that I think there are more and more people that are aware of that, what can happen from the drinking and, you know, doing it in excess and all those type of things.
Yeah. So alcohol is not the only thing that people struggle with. There are lots of different kinds of addiction. I'm going to cover a couple of different kinds right now. Addicted to shopping, online shopping, in the mall shopping, you know, TV shopping. Mary Pat, we're both raising our hands to that one because we watch the, you know, shopping networks. So what are some strategies? Well, maybe you're not bad like I am. I don't think I have an addiction, but I do that, and I can understand how it could be. You love those, you know, the instant gratification and the boxes arriving at the house, all of that. How do you avoid, let's just talk about the shopping addiction. What are some strategies there that you have learned or you've helped people learn?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny you bring that up, you know, because one thing we talk a lot about is, you know, people talk about, well, I'm an alcoholic, I'm an addict, but I truly say I have the disease of more. And at all different phases of my life, that more has manifested in different ways. It could have been shopping. It could have been gambling. It could have been eating. It could have been relationships. It could have been working. So, you know, I have that thing in me that just wants that gratification, no matter what that gratification is. You know, so when it comes to shopping, it's, you know, for myself, like if I know I'm only want to spend that much money, like that's all I bring with me. I don't bring the debit card. I don't bring the credit card. You know, I keep myself to a budget. You know, I personally, I don't watch QVC and things like that because I can get sucked in and, like, you know, get right in there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, my wife is an Amazon person, you know, I don't have access to her Amazon account because I just, you know, I put those safeguards up. So I just, anything that, like you said, that instant gratification can be an issue for a person like myself and anybody that struggles with those things.
I've not heard anybody call it a disease of more, but I like that a lot. That really fits.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it can be the shopping, it can be the food, it can, you know, you see, we have people that come in with all different issues, and it really, it goes back to helping them just escape, you know, it's that coping tool. If I'm feeling stressed out, I might not be a drinker or a drug, but it can be, like you said, that package arriving at the front door, or going to the pizza place and eating the whole pizza, or going to the casino and, you know, playing the slot machine. It's all about that internal feeling.
Knowing yourself is important through the process, correct?
And absolutely. And I think that's where most people don't even realize that, you know, when they develop that true addiction to whatever it may be, is they truly lack a relationship with themselves, you know. And that's one thing that I've developed for myself in this recovery process, is a true relationship with myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a key part of maintaining long-term sobriety.
No, I agree. So, you know, we talked about some different strategies. You know, you talked about maybe having a non-drinking person with you at parties. Do you utilize physical things like exercise or breathing to help people
Absolutely.
Through this?
You know, like we talk about it being a threefold disease, mind, body, and spirit.
Got it.
You know, so connecting on a spiritual level with, we talk about a God of your understanding. You know, doing breathing exercises. You know, that's some of the things we do in groups down at Beachway. You know, we do breathing exercises, guided meditations. You know, and the physical exercise, too. I mean, that's a huge part of my mental well-being. I mean, I'm in the gym, you know, 4 or 5 mornings a week, and it's just, yes, there's a physical component of it, too, but it really does so much for my mental well-being.
I agree with you. I think the physical, I'm a runner. I think the mental part of exercise is just as important as the physical part. And I don't know if people don't do that, they may not understand that.
Yeah, no, and I think that's, you know, everybody gets stuck in those first 2 weeks of the exercise, you know, and when it's getting over the hurdle and trying to develop a new habit, getting through that discomfort, and most people just give up because it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, but if you can get through that first couple weeks, then you can truly start reaping the benefit. I mean, because, you know, your endorphins, your serotonin, the exercise does so much for our brain chemistry to make us feel better.
Amen. And you have to make it a habit. You know, it takes 3 weeks, sometimes 4.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure that you found that when you first started your recovery, you know.
Absolutely.
Wow. We're talking to Brian Esposito. He's with Beachway Addiction Professionals. We're helping people get through the holidays if there is addiction in your family. Do you have any closing thoughts, sir?
No, I mean, you know, I think that the biggest thing is for people, if they are struggling, to not be scared to ask for help. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things. You know, I've really been trying to, as an agency, trying to get involved more on a local level and trying to help people lift the stigmatism that surrounds addiction and alcoholism, you know, because I think that really prevents a lot of people from asking for help.
Who should you reach out to first? What if somebody's listening right now, they know they're struggling, they're having a problem, you know, do you reach out to a family member, a trusted friend? I mean, what do you do?
I mean, I think everybody has that person in their life. You know, for me, that was an older sister, then it was a mother, then it was, you know, there was always those people in our lives that we know we could fall on. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's been a lot of times when we have the issues with the addiction, it's not a surprise to the people in our lives. Right. They know it. We just have to be willing to ask for help. You know, it's like, I'm glad you finally said something because we could tell you weren't right. You know, a lot of times they know better than we do because they can see it, you know, when our loved ones can see it.
Yeah, they know you. What's a good way to get information about Beachway? Is there a website?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go on www.beachway.com, BACHWAY.com. That's our main website. And any information you were looking to find, you can find on there. You can actually go right online. We have a mission specialist that you can actually talk to directly through a chat on the website. And, you know, we do some really good work at Beachway. And I truly believe in what we do. And, you know, and it's nice when you get to see people that come through the program. You know, I have clients that I've worked with 5-6 years ago that still email me today when they're sober. And they're like, you know what, Brian, really feel like you were a big part of this process. And, you know, that's rewarding for myself as well.
Yeah, that has to be so rewarding.
Absolutely.
Brian Esposito with Beachway Addictions. It's been a pleasure. It's been very informative. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And you're listening to Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
Unique Home Solutions, serving more than 30,000 homeowners since 1983. Providing home remodeling services from minor updates to complete renovations with a mission to improve appearance and efficiency. More at uniquehomesolutions.org.
Indie Boomer for the next chapter of your life. Be sure you follow Indie Boomer on Twitter and Instagram. You can like Indie Boomer on Facebook. You can search for us, Indie Boomer TV, Radio Mag. You can see Boomer TV on WFYI every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Go to IndieBoomer.com, sign up for the newsletter, hear a podcast, or see your favorite story. Indie Boomer, for the next chapter of your life.